This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up our reflection this week on the spiritual gift of the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord that was the Lord's delight, as Isaiah chapter 11 reminds us. Kind of, it's striking. There's a list of those beautiful and important spiritual gifts that come to us through Christ, who is the Messiah. We share in his life now, that we're part of his body. We're members of his body. And the Holy Spirit equips us with the reality of Jesus' pure and holy existence in the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, and he's anointed me. And this is the reality of what we're given in baptism. And it's unfortunate, many, I think it was Paul VI at one point said that for many of the baptized, the gifts we've been given at baptism lie dormant. Even confirmation, they lie dormant after receiving sacraments and the graces that are there, unactivated, not being exercised, and sort of living as if they're not real. It's very common for that to happen, and we're missing out. I mean, there's so much that's being missed in that kind of context. I lived that way myself for a long time. I just didn't pay attention to it. As a kid growing up, I barely remember my confirmation, and mostly because I didn't care about it in those days. And I just wasn't against it. I just didn't pay much attention to it. It was very immature. And then it wasn't until later in high school when I experienced conversion that by God's grace, I began to see what mattered. I'm so grateful for all the people that prayed for me. But along the way, there were moments in which the help of God came to me, like not unique to me for sure, that many people experience as their hearts begin to turn, as they begin to cry out to God, and God's help comes, and people begin to follow it or reach out to it. And there's just a few times in my life where I know I was touched now, looking back, by the fear of the Lord, and I'm so grateful for the help that it gave me. The first time I remember it really significantly was when I was about 20. I went to a conference at the University of Notre Dame, a large charismatic conference I was invited to, and had never been anything quite like that before, certainly not at that size, but mostly I had not heard, had been with that many people who just were joyfully celebrating the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus, and the preaching was amazing. And I had very few times growing up where I could say partly because I didn't listen very well, but where I heard homilies or something that like really struck me or brought conviction to me in a way that I could really experience the Lord in some way. Not critiquing those guys, whatever priests I had growing up, they were good men, many of them, and they were good to our family. So I'm not criticizing them. I mostly just didn't pay attention. But by God's grace, I did at this time of my life. There was a hunger growing inside of me. And I remember when I was with these folks for a number of days, you know, Friday through Sunday at the University of Notre Dame, and just there was a joy, there was a conviction about the real presence of Jesus, there was deep reverence for the sacraments, there was a freedom to pray, to sing his praises like it says in the Psalms. I certainly didn't have it while I was there, but I was observing it. But I saw something in them, and I think in many ways, at that stage of my life, I was still attached to the world. In certain ways, I still probably feared men more than I feared God, in the sense of wanting to fit in, all the rest of that. But on that weekend, the Word of God and the way in which it was preached communicated just extraordinary dimensions of the person of Jesus. Again, in a way I'd never heard it before. His glory, his majesty, his love, his mercy, his overwhelming power, his real presence, these kinds of things, and testimonies and preaching the Word of God with power. And so as the weekend went on, I mean, it led to deep repentance and confession, and a desire was being stirred. It's like the living Word was penetrating into my soul. And the more I heard, the more I hungered. And as the weekend went on, and then Sunday, the closing mass of the event, I was just praying quiet. It was just in my own heart. I was praying earnestly, knowing that I didn't have the strength to live like some of the people I observed there, you know what I mean? And didn't have that kind of faith. And I knew that I wanted to live differently, but didn't have the power. And that I just, as I prayed, I said, Lord, you know me. I'm going to walk one step forward, two steps back. And I just pray that the faith that I see in these people, the love, the presence, your power somehow, that I could live in that more and begin to live for you more fully and turn away from, you know, sins that I'm still holding on to. And just say, Lord, whatever you want. That's partly what I saw there, where people just crying out and saying yes to Jesus. And I look back and I learn, this is discipleship. This is what it means to be a disciple. To say, my life is no longer my own. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. He's purchased me at a price. And the only point of life is to live for him and to love him and obey him as he did to the Father. And by thanks be to God for the people who witnessed to that and for his mercy. But anyway, I went to communion and came back to my seat, and I'm standing there just praying quietly. And as others are filing to communion, and this gentleman taps me on the shoulder, and I turn and look, and he's a middle-aged guy from Indianapolis, Indiana. He said, son, you know, could I share something with you? And I said, sure. And he said, I'm sitting back here a number of rows getting ready to go to communion, and my eyes fell upon you. As I was just watching people go to communion, and I felt the Holy Spirit move me to come and tell you, son, that the faith and love that you seek shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you. And in that moment, because it was something the Lord prompted, the Spirit of God was there, and the Spirit of God touched me, and I got, you know, I got baptized in the Spirit as it's understood and articulated by the church, both graces of baptism and confirmation. So the life of the Spirit, just like it, it's like a well, you know, a well that got tapped or something. It just began to come alive, the presence of the Holy Spirit right in the moment. And I just felt the love of God. And I'm holding on to this guy. I was just kind of shaking. And then I felt as I was holding on to this guy, and I'm sensing the presence of the Lord. And it's like he's getting closer and closer. And then I just got like a little glimpse of what it felt like, anyway. This is what it seemed like to me, like a little glimpse of the hem of his garment, like the Lord and the taste of his holiness. And I just was shaking and trembling. And it's both a combination, and it was an experience. The reason I'm bringing it up is an experience of the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a beautiful thing. And you remember what the beginning of the week I was reading on Monday from Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, a famous Catholic spiritual author, spiritual writer. He described this. I want to read this first paragraph again from what he said. He said, the gift of the fear of this fear is the first manifestation of the influence of the Holy Spirit in a soul that leaves off sin and is converted to God. So I know it was already working in me, because I was already having strength in the previous year and a half of my life to say no to some of the more gross sins or the things that, you know, and we're able to turn away from those. So the fear of the Lord was already present, working, as well as the love of God and faith and things like that. But then he goes on to say, you know, holy fear of God is the inverse of worldly fear, often called human respect. And I think there was a lot of that in me that still needed help. And he said, he goes on to talk about this filial fear, you know, that Jesus had even for the Father, Jesus' disposition toward the Father, and the recognition of the Father's holiness, love, purity, awesomeness, and glory. And he describes filial fear. He says, filial fear, the gift of fear, dreads sin especially more than punishment and do it. So, as I mentioned, you know, the servile fear, which I once had, and it's not a terrible thing, but it's just the beginning, like the fear of punishment. You get God's grace, you say, whoa, I got to stop that. And punishment and wanting to avoid punishment is a good motive if that's all you got. But filial fear is different. It's more mature. It's really what the spiritual gift is about. It makes us tremble with a holy respect before the majesty of God. And then here he said, sometimes the experience is so vivid that no meditation, no reading could produce a like sentiment. And that's what happened to me that day. That's what I think, you know? that there was an experience of the holy fear of God as a simple grace for my life. And it seemed like things like that were happening all around the arena. People were getting healed and people were coming alive in their faith and people were weeping. And there were 200 priests and a number of bishops there. And it was just a wonderful celebration of the presence of God. And that grace is what the Lord wants you to know and the way he wants you to bring you to. Every person is unique. But just to know, friends, that the experience of the fear of the Lord is something that the Lord gives to those who love him and those who are seeking him to the degree that they need it in different ways. And so, I mean, this has happened to me maybe three times or four times noticeably over the years. And I've been following the Lord since I'm almost 65 now. And that's, you know, for almost 45 years. So it's not like it happens all the time. You know, some people it happens more, but the bottom line is, each of those I could describe to you, maybe there's like five or six actually, but I can see how in moments in my life that the presence of the fear of the Lord, either individually or with a small group of people I was praying with, where the fear of the Lord came on everybody at the same time, on their knees, just kind of weeping and trembling at the reality of God's greatness and his holiness. And it's not a bad thing. It's a really, really good thing. And it helps purify, it helps wake us up. It helps shake us out of our pride of mind or our inordinate self-love and these kinds of things that are just present in fallen people like us, right? And so it's important to pray for the gift of the fear of the Lord to come alive so that, like Jesus, you can delight in the fear of the Lord. Move out of servile fear, which again, if that's all somebody has, somebody's life is a wreck, let's say they're into a lot of sin and boom, all of a sudden a certain light comes in. You feel like I'm going to be punished for this. There's going to be consequences for this that could be eternal, and that shakes you and you're afraid of that punishment. That's a good thing. It's the beginning of waking up for people in that situation, but that's only the very, very beginning. But it's meant to move by God's grace to not just turning away from punishment, but turning the fear of punishment, but turning away from sin and recognizing, oh no, you know, God's commandments are so good. God's commandments are life for me. I got to turn away from that. They're so offensive to God. And look at God. God is beautiful. God is holy. And God's out for my good. He's in my corner. He loves me. I'm not missing out on anything if I say no to everything in this world that's inconsistent with his will. I don't need it. I just don't need it. You begin to see the beauty of God. You begin to see the love of God. You begin to see, and then faith and hope begins to grow in you, and other gifts, other wonderful gifts, and wisdom and counsel, other spiritual gifts that are present there. But as St. Augustine said, and Father Lagrange and many others have said, this fear of the Lord is the starting point. Teaches us to leave off sin, to run from it, to turn away from it, and not turn toward emptiness and boredom, but to turn to God, holiness, the fire, the furnace of God's burning love for us, which means life, which means freedom, which means eternal life in glory with God. Blessed be God, friends. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.